Hello and welcome back to the Adventures in Marketing podcast. My name is Gwen. I'm your host. I'm also a marketing strategist, which means that today's topic is especially fun for me. We're going to be talking about why you need an email list. And for some of you, that's not your favorite thing. That's okay. I'm going to walk you through it. When it comes to marketing and when it comes to reaching your audience, it is really easy to assume that social media is the best or only option, and that's just not true. My approach is holistic, which means I look at all of the different marketing tools and then figure out how a business can use them together instead of separately, because a lot of times what I see is somebody has maybe a social media strategy and maybe an email strategy and maybe a website strategy or a blog post strategy, but none of those strategies talk to each other. And so you have silos, basically little tall towers of individual things that don't have any bridges between them, and they just work better together. But for today, I just want to talk about email lists. Before we get too far into this, I do want to point out that not every business has to have an email list to survive. There have been plenty that don't have one. However, yeah, I think that in today's world, in the way that things are set up now, having an email list becomes more and more important. And the reason that is that if you are relying just on social media to reach your audience, you probably already know that your reach can be challenging. It can be challenging to keep up with the changing algorithms and hope that things work. It can be challenging when a social media platform allows one thing and then stops, or pushes one thing and then stops pushing that and pushes something else, and your entire strategy is built around the thing that they were excited about last year, but now they're not. So that's really the benefit of an email list, is it gives you direct access to your audience in a way that you can't get any other way. You just can't, because you don't have control over who sees your social media posts. You can post them and hope that Facebook shows them to some people, but you know it's not going to show them to all, or Instagram, or LinkedIn, or Twitter, or wherever you are. However, an email list is somebody's exact direct email to reach them. That's what makes it so powerful. Before we get too far into it, I also want to talk about engagement, because I have heard some people say that email is dead, nobody uses email anymore, why would they need it? Well, I looked up some statistics about engagement, and I just really wanted to focus on engagement between email and social media. And there's a lot of different metrics you can use to compare the two, but just for this podcast, because I like to keep these short and sweet rather than some sort of deep dive, I just wanted to look at engagement. And the numbers I found show that engagement overall on social media is a half of a percentage point. A half of a percentage point. That's hardly anything. And if you have your metrics for your social media, you're probably seeing that. And you might see some posts do great and then others are tanked. And that's just kind of the way it is. So overall, across all businesses, across platforms, it's a half of a percentage point. That's your engagement on social media. On email, when you send an email to somebody, it reaches 85% of the people you send it to. And obviously there will be a lower amount for opens, but at least you know they're getting it versus four people on your Facebook page that may have seen something. So that's why I think that email is so important. And the typical open rate, because I know you're asking that, the typical open rate for email is 23%. And that will change depending on the industry. For health and beauty, it's much lower. For other industries, it's a little bit higher. But around the average is 20 to 23%. My list, for example, is 50%, because I work really hard to make sure that my email is worth opening. Land's End, on the other hand, just sends me endless emails. And I typically don't open those unless I'm looking for a discount. But most of my emails get opened when I send them. So, and there is a concern, too, about emails going to spam or junk mail. Right? Google has the promotions folder. That's something that some people have concerns on. But again, even if a portion goes to that spam or junk folder, it's still got to be better than half of a percentage point of engagement on social media. So let's say you have an email list or you're ready to start one. The first thing to do is to be aware of the legal parts, which are very important. The first thing to do is that you don't add somebody to your email list without their permission. The easiest way to do this is to use something like MailChimp or Constant Contact. Mad Mimi is one. MailerLite is another. There's a bunch of different ones, and some people have preferences. Some people don't really care. Some people hate one and love the other. It's really up to you. Try some and see which feels most intuitive and natural for you to use, and set up your email list through that system. You do not want to, as I said, add people to your email list without their permission. Using an email provider like the ones I mentioned have forms, and they save those forms for you, so you have proof of when somebody joined your email list in case it ever comes up. It also lets you easily add people to your email list because you'll have a little sign up form that you can use from them. You do not want to use, and some people have done this, you do not want to use your personal email and just CC or BCC, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, everybody on your list. That's not an appropriate way to run an email list. You really want those people in some kind of a program for your protection and just for ease of use. So if you're BCCing people or CCing people, just move it over to MailChimp, move it over to MailerLite, move it over to whichever one you like. Just stop doing that. The next question I get is, how often should you send out an email? And again, that depends. I say that depends a lot. Some people really love monthly emails. Some people love weekly. Some people only send an email every quarter. In my experience, I think that if you only send an email once every 3 months, because that's every quarter, so 4 emails a year, out of all of the emails, that's going to get lost. And so I don't think that in general that's effective. I think monthly makes more sense for most businesses. I have recently moved my email to mostly weekly, depending on whether or not I get a chance to send it. And the reason I do that is because what I was finding when I was sending it monthly is I was making them too long. I was trying to include a month's worth of really great content of things that I wanted to share, and it made them too long, because I think short and sweet is better for email rather than something long. In most cases, there are some really great businesses I can think of right now who do longer form email, and it's more essay form than sharing information. So again, depending on what your business is, depending on how you talk to your people, I think that monthly at a minimum makes the most sense for retention and for people to see it and remember who you are. And then weekly is also another option. But the more often you send your email, the more work it takes. So be aware of your time and how much work you have to put into each email. Another thing to think about is if you increase your emails during launches or upcoming sales or holidays, and making that part of your overall marketing strategy so that you know what you're sending and when. But I don't think that sending an email every week is too much. I do think sending an email every day is too much, and I've definitely unsubscribed from people who do that. But it also comes down to the quality and the value of your email. If you're putting in something really good, then it makes sense to open it. It makes sense for your audience to open it and to get something out of it. If you are just spamming their inbox with poorly written sales copy, then it's way less interesting and you'll probably have a lower retention rate on your email list. And that brings us to the next question people have is, what exactly do you put in your email? What kind of content do you put there to make it interesting for your audience? It's a little hard to answer it generically because so much of it depends on your audience and your business and how you talk to each other and what they want to see. But in general, lead with the things that your audience cares about, what is most important for them to know about your business and about what you do, and what other value can you bring to them short of trying to get them to buy something. Because a lot of sales can come from your email list because you're nurturing those people probably more than you would a random social media person who likes a post on your page and then you never see them again. But you also have to understand what the people on your list want. Like, why are they there? What do they care about? If they got there, what brought them there, right? Another question is, how do I grow my email list? That's a really big one. And I think there's a couple of different ways to do it. I typically do a monthly freebie for my email list, and then I share that to anybody who is interested in joining my email list to get more in the future. And that's been pretty successful for me. I do it because I actually like creating those kinds of little freebies and creating helpful little pieces of content. If the idea of creating a freebie ever is something that you hate, or doesn't match your business, then don't do that. It works great for my business and for my email list, but it might not be a good one for you. So you don't have to do a freebie, or sometimes they're called an opt-in. You can, and they're successful, and there's lots of case studies to talk about why they're successful, but so much of it depends on your business and on your time. Sometimes people will create a single freebie or opt-in and use that year-round. I just couldn't decide what kind of one I wanted, so I just decided to make new ones every month, and it does some extra stuff for me. It gives me lots of cool things to hand out to clients. It gives me some cool things to share when I'm talking about my business, but that works for me. What works for me may not work for you. So if you don't want to do a freebie or you don't want to do an opt-in, what are some other things you can do? One would be, especially in retail, you see this a lot, join our email list, get 20% off your next order. Some form of discount, right? Because it's a give and an ask at the same time. You give them a discount and you ask for their email. If you don't want to do those, you don't have to do one. You don't have to do any kind of opt-in at all. You can just talk about what you put in your email, and you can talk about how it's valuable, and then share that through social media and other channels, even on your website, to get people to sign up. Some people use pop-ups on their website. I am, generally speaking, not a fan of pop-ups. I don't use them on my website because for that reason. Some people love them. There's statistics that show that they do typically do well when they are triggered at the right time. However, if you talk to most people, they don't like them. So it's an interesting thing to me to see high sign-up numbers because of pop-ups, but everybody hates them. I think people might be hating them and signing up for them at the same time. So it's something you could try and see how you feel about it. If you don't want a pop-up, you don't have to have one. It's up to you. Another thing to consider, and I mentioned this at the beginning, is my approach is holistic, which means I look at everything. I don't just look at social media by itself or email by itself or the website by itself. I think everything needs to work together. It's important to think about your email list does not exist by itself. So you can promote your email list on social media, and you can promote your social media in your email list, but neither one replaces the other. When Facebook first came out, I saw a lot of businesses abandoning their email lists because back then Facebook was really generous about showing posts to everybody, and it was easier to be seen as a business. It was easier to get a lot of likes, a lot of reactions, a lot of follows, do a lot of sales through Facebook at the very beginning. But again, over time, things have changed, and I feel like a lot of those people who abandoned their email list maybe regret that a little bit and have revived their email list. Just because it's a way to reach somebody in a really clear and easy way, much easier than social media. It doesn't mean that you should abandon social media and just focus on email, or abandon email and just focus on social media. You really need to figure out how all of these pieces of marketing tools, puzzle pieces, how they fit together and how they're going to work together to grow your business. Because at the end of the day, this is your business and it's your rules, but there are definitely some ways that you can make your world easier. You can make your business job easier by using some of the tools available. So if you don't have an email list and you want to start one, the first thing to do would be to pick an email builder, then start promoting it. And it's okay if you only have 3 people on your email list, give them the best email they've read in an entire month, and those 3 people will grow. If you have 5,000 people on your email list and nobody is opening it, then it might be time to clean it up a little bit. There's some easy ways to clean up your email list. You can revamp what you do. Really look at what campaigns in the past have resonated and why, and sort of work backwards from there to get back to that place. And it might be that your business has shifted and some of the people who joined your email list a couple of years ago aren't really interested in what you're doing anymore. And so you can remove those people from your email list, because if they're not opening it and they're not engaging in what you're offering, you're doing them a favor by removing them from your email list. And one thing you might also see as you maybe reinvest time in your email list, as you revamp what you want to offer in your email list to your email, you might find people dropping off. And it can be really scary to see those unsubscribes. But I see them as a good thing, because those are people that weren't a good fit for you. And so now they don't get your emails. It's really a win-win, because you don't have to worry that they're not going to like what you're sending because they're not a part of that anymore. And benefit, many email system providers, email list providers like MailChimp, like MadMeMe, like all of the other ones I mentioned, They're free up to a certain point. And then once you go over that number, they charge you per subscriber or they charge you for a chunk of subscribers. So the smaller your email list, if it's only full of people who are really interested in what you do, it may actually end up saving you some money if you have some people drop off. So that's okay, right? It's okay if that person isn't a good fit for your business now. Maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't. It's all good. To wrap up, do you need an email list? No. Can it be beneficial? Yes. Can you have an email list that feels good to you and doesn't feel gross or spammy or salesy? Yes. Should you email your list rather than never touching them and never bothering them? Yes. Should you add random strangers to your email list? No, don't do that. Should your email work in conjunction with your social media, your website, and your overall marketing strategy? Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate you taking time to hang out with me. If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe. If you have questions or comments, please email me.